Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We are joined now by Rachel Ulrich. She is a senior editor at ESPN, the magazine. She deals with Major League Baseball and soccer for the magazine. But for our purposes, the reason that she's relevant for this podcast is I'll read from your Twitter bio. You are inappropriately emotionally invested in the Orioles. And I think everybody listening to this can probably relate to that. So, Rachel, how did you first become an Orioles fan?
Oh, man, it is in my blood. My dad grew up most of his life in Annapolis. His dad worked at the Naval Academy, and then my dad went to the Naval Academy. So he grew up going to Memorial Stadium and just a fan for life. His favorite is Brooks. And when I grew up, I spent most of my childhood in Virginia Beach. So for most of that time, the closest team was the Orioles. So we would go up either to visit family or just go up for games, and grew up going, and then got really into it as a way to spend time with my dad and really just, you know, go see different ballparks and all that stuff. When I was in probably high school and college was when I got super serious. And especially now at ESPN, working in baseball has just gotten even more so.
And do you have a particular favorite memory? I know for a lot of people, maybe it's when Cal broke Lou Gehrig's record, or for me, I'm old enough that I actually remember the Orioles winning the World Series. Do you have a particular memory, like a favorite Orioles memory?
Yeah, there are two. One is exactly what you just mentioned, Cal breaking the streak. My dad woke me up, got me out of bed for it, and we went downstairs and watched it. That is a formational memory of my childhood. My dog is named Cal Ripken, so that's how far I am into that. But
excellent.
The other one would actually be the ALDS in 2012, which was both mine and my dad's first playoff game. We went together. Game two that they won was just like, it was amazing. It was so much fun. We had a blast. It was really, I think that was the game that there was a crazy rain delay, but we set through it and then actually got a win. And I will never forget my dad yelling at A-Rod when he got struck out by Jim Johnson. God, these are bringing back some memories. But my dad was like yelling, and he was like, you bum. And I just remember cracking up because like, that's all you've got, Dad, at this like exciting moment of Orioles history. He called A-Rod a bum. But yeah, that was a really good one. It was very exciting.
Yeah, just yelling things at A-Rod is an Orioles fan tradition going back for several decades at least. I know that was always fun for people. Yeah, those are some good ones. I know that whole 2012 season, people ask me sometimes, and I say that may be my favorite season ever as an Orioles fan, because it came out of nowhere. I mean, again, I'm old enough to remember when the Orioles were actually, consistently good. And I do remember the 1983 World Series. I think I was 15. So I have some memories from my childhood that are different than, people who are younger than me have. But that season, because it was so out of nowhere, and because, they won the wild card game and they actually got to the fifth game of the ALDS, it was just an incredible experience. And like one of my favorite experiences ever as a sports fan of any sports team.
It was amazing. I mean, I remember watching the wild card game because my dad and I, again, had tickets to the ALDS if they made it. And so I was in Connecticut. He was in Virginia Beach, where he still lives. And we were on the phone for the ninth inning, just watching and hoping that we were going to be able to meet up and go to the playoffs together. And when it was incredible. 2014 was super fun. The Delmon Young double was, I still say, like one of the best days of my life, sporting or otherwise. But yeah, that 2012 season just felt really cool. Again, especially for my dad, who's been a fan for much longer than I have, for us to get to do it together was really neat.
Yeah. So let's shift gears a little bit then and talk about, we talked about 2012, we talked about 2014.
Now we have to talk about this year.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately I'm contractually obligated to talk about 2018 occasionally. The 2018 Orioles, obviously we all know what's going on. Everybody listening to this, thank you for those of you who are still listening, because it's not easy to listen to a podcast about a last place team. But they're clearly really bad, and they're not just bad, but they're on the cusp of wholesale changes. We all know what's coming with Manny Machado is going to be traded, and if for some miracle he's not traded, he's going to leave as a free agent at the end of the year. We know Adam Jones may be in his last days in a Baltimore uniform. Dan Duquette, Buck Showalter are all on the last year's ever contract. So we know this is going to be, beyond even just a bad year in 2018, we know we're probably facing a lot more bad years after this. So I guess
this is
question.
This is fun, Justin. I'm really glad you did this.
Yeah, I mean, thanks. Thanks for being here. So I guess the question I have, though, is as an emotionally invested fan, as you are, as I am, and as I think, you know, anybody listening to this is likely to be an emotionally invested Orioles fan, how do you get through these years? We've all had some experience getting through, you know, bad stretches of Orioles baseball, but we kind of, you know, I think got a little spoiled by having a brief flurry of, you know, 5-6 years there where the Orioles were kind of good. How do we get through a year like this? How do we get, you know, what are your coping mechanisms as a fan?
No, it is. It's hard. And I do definitely find myself like emotionally disengaging a little bit more this year, and even a little bit at the end of last year than in the past years. I think it's especially different to be an emotionally invested fan from afar, because I'm not surrounded by Orioles fans. I'm not surrounded by people talking about the team. I'm surrounded by a whole bunch of Yankees and Red Sox fans, which is a ton of fun this year, let me tell you. But yeah, so, you know, I pay for MLB TV, and most nights I'm watching the game. But in a year like this, suddenly at 8 or 9 o'clock, when they're already down 5-0, I am watching something else. And it's tricky. I still have a season ticket plan, but I have just a 13-game plan, and I find myself just sort of clustering them this year. I'm like, oh, I'll go see this series because I want to see the team that they're playing, and I'll bring some people and use some of the tickets. Whereas the last couple of years, I've just wanted to go as much as possible, and I'll take away trips, and I'll go watch them at Fenway, and I'll go watch them in New York. And I've done that a couple times already this year, and they've lost every single away game that I've been to. And, you know, I would always rather be at a baseball game than not at a baseball game, but it gets really disheartening. And it is. Adam Jones is like my new Cal. Like Manny, I've resigned myself to. I'm fine with that. But, you know, but it's like hard to watch AJ right now, thinking that he might not be in Baltimore anymore, because I just can't. It's really hard to imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, Adam Jones is a guy who, you know, seemed like an Oriole for life. You know what I mean? He was one of since Cal Ripken, he is the guy who really has been the face of the franchise in a way that nobody else ever really has. I mean, we had Brian Roberts and Nick Markakis and some other players who were good for a while, yeah, but none of them really had the, I don't know what it is, that's a combination of both being a good player and being a good representative of the community and just having that kind of, you know, that kind of swagger, I guess. You know, he really was a guy that you were always proud to have represent the Orioles, you know. And I'm with you. Having him leave, you know, even though he's not the player he once was, that's going to be emotionally tough, I think.
I can't even think about it. Like I said, and the other thing that's funny, I sort of laughed as I said, I'm fine with Manny leaving. They also tend to, I think I'm okay with things, and then they'll do something that pulls me back in. Like I'll see a Manny and Scope handshake, or we'll write a really good article about AJ or somebody else, and all of a sudden I'm like completely back in, and I'm like, oh god, no, none of them can leave. Every time I think like, okay, this is it, I'm taking a break, like I can't do this to myself, something will happen, they'll win last night as they did against the White Sox, and I'm like, no, this is why it's going to turn around.
Yeah,
because you'll do better this week.
Well, I think that's the ultimate thing. I mean, I'm not that kind of fan. I'm the kind of fan who, if they lose their first three games of this, you know, for three of their first five games of the season, I'm like, well, that's it. It's done. So yeah. I'm kind of the opposite, but I really appreciate the people who have that kind of attitude. My son is kind of like that. He just turned 15, and I unfortunately have turned him into an Orioles fan, which is probably not one of my better parenting moves, to be honest with you. But he's kind of that guy. He's like, well, we're not really that bad. And if we go on a winning streak, we do this and do that. I mean, I sit there and I'm like, you know, I wish I could have that kind of optimism and that kind of attitude about it. It would probably be a better way to go through life. But it is really tough with this team. And I think he's even had his spirit broken at this point.
Yeah, this has been a bad one. And I waffle between my friends laugh about April baseball Rachel, because I'm sort of like you. If they lose the first week, I'm out, and then I get sucked back in, and then I'm convinced, well, if they just do this. And it's funny, we did a huge piece last year on the magazine did a huge piece last year on the Dodgers. They were our September cover story. And so I've been just following some more of their reporters and their fans and keeping an eye. And I have noticed that that's what they are doing this year, where it's like, no, but if we just go on this run, then we'll be fine. And I think you're right. I think the O's are too far gone this year for that. But it is like, I'll be fine with Manny leaving. I'll be resigned to it. It'll be okay. And don't even get me started on Buck, because if Buck ends up being gone in the middle of this year or next year or anything, I don't know what I will do. that's one that I am incredibly emotionally invested in.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Buck Showalter is, I mean, again, I hate to keep giving up my own age here, but I'm old enough to remember Earl Weaver. I remember his, you know, the last few years of his first term with the Orioles, and then his second stint, which was much less successful, and the less said of that, the better. But in any case, you know, I remember Earl Weaver, and Buck Showalter is by far the second best Orioles manager I can ever remember. I mean, Davey Johnson was pretty good, but he was only there for a couple of years, and, you know, we know there was all that turmoil with him and Peter Angelos, but it's, you know, Buck has been so successful and such a, you know, such a comforting presence on the bench that's another one, like Adam Jones, that when he leaves, it's not going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, whether he goes this year or not, he's not going to be around too much longer, I would imagine. So
it just feels so much like the end of an era in a way that, like, you look at, I was looking at last couple of rosters. Like, you're right. Like, Markakis leaving was a bummer. Roberts leaving was a bummer. But the guys that we've lost that you think, like, oh, it's sad to see J.J. Hardy or, you know, Nelson Cruz are guys that had a really, like, there were huge parts of big runs, and it was sad to see them leave. But this one just feels like such a gut punch. The number of guys leaving and the caliber of them, it just really does feel like the end of an era. And after 15 years of losing, 5 years of an era of good baseball is just not long enough.
Yeah, it really feels like it kind of came up short. And, you know, I was talking to somebody about this too. It's like the Royals kind of maybe had a similar experience. You know, they were bad.
Yeah,
they were bad for even longer than the Orioles, and then they had their, you know, they had a fairly short run, but that short run included two American League pennants and a World Series championship, and so that probably makes it a little bit easier if you're a Royals fan to deal with the end of that era. I mean, I think had the Orioles gone on to that World Series in 2014 and won it, it would probably be easier right now, I think, to deal with this. But ultimately, they came up short. They didn't win it all, or even win a pennant out of this run, and now we know. Yeah, you know, the Red Sox and Yankees are set for you know, seemingly forever at this point, and it's going to be tough to crack back into the top echelons of the American League East.
Yeah, it definitely is. The AL feels, and the whole AL, even getting a wild card, just feels so hard this year. And it's funny. I tell people a lot that rooting for a bad baseball team is much less stressful because the expectations just aren't there, but it's also just so much less fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right,
much better for my blood pressure. But
well, yeah, that's it. I mean, when you don't have the emotional investment, you don't live and die with every game, and that's certainly easier
exactly.
on you.
Like, I'm still going to follow them. I'm still going to get my alerts. I'm going to be checking the scores and watching the games. But if you don't expect them to win, it's not. It's far less agonizing when they don't.
All right, well, let's focus just quickly then on what maybe some fun things would be as an Orioles fan. You mentioned, you know, going to Fenway or going to Yankee Stadium, and that's not necessarily fun this year, but I am going to be going to Atlanta to see them play in June.
Oh my God, me too, Justin.
Oh, cool. Yeah, my family and I are going to be there on the Saturday game. So,
yeah, that's when we're going too.
All right, well, maybe we'll have to meet up and get a beer or something.
We're going to find you. Yes.
Cool. But anyway, so yeah, that's something fun. I mean, that's a new stadium. I've been to the old one. I haven't been to this one yet. So that's something fun, right? You get to see a stadium. You maybe
totally.
Get to see Ronald Acuna.
I'm a big fan of O's road trips whenever you can do them. So same here. It was a city that I haven't been to in a really long time. It was a new ballpark. A buddy of mine from up here and I are flying down for the whole weekend, and we're going to go to a game. I was just out on the West Coast 2 weeks ago. I went to Anaheim, which again was a new ballpark, and Oakland, where I go to Oco Coliseum every year, because why wouldn't you? Because my best friend lives out there. But it's fun to go see a new ballpark or go see a new city. I'm going to go to see them when they're at Citi Field this year, because that's something a little bit out of the ordinary. I think they have like a night game on a Tuesday and a day game on a Wednesday, so that'll be fun. And I do that sort of thing, like, you're going to a new ballpark, you're going to a new city, you get to eat some good food. It's just, again, you just sort of feel like, okay, well, if they win, if they lose, at least I'm doing something different.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will definitely be there for the Angels series, because the second half of my Twitter bio is, and apologies to anyone who follows me, about the obsession with Shohei Ohtani, which I just cannot get over this year. My favorite story in baseball for a very long time, and giving me something to root for other than the Orioles. So we'll definitely be there in July for that one too.
Yeah, and hopefully he'll pitch against the Orioles. He was gonna in the West Coast trip, but I forget what happened, but he ended up not pitching against them. I know at one point he was scheduled to.
I had tickets to that game, and I will never forgive Neil Walker for stepping on the base wrong so that Ohtani twisted his ankle.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, so my son was very excited about that too. He was like, "Oh, they're going to face Ohtani," and I was actually going to.
I was pretty sure he was going to hit a no hitter.
Exactly. I mean, there was always a chance with the Orioles, you know. And so it's, so that's good. And of course, Mike Trout is always fun to watch. You know,
exactly,
we're seeing the greatest player of this generation, and I think.
And that series is the second Hawaiian shirt giveaway. So.
Well, there you go.
It's a big one.
So there's a reason to watch. I was looking up some stuff. I know on August 11th, they're going to induct Brian Roberts and Fred Ramfra into the Orioles Hall of Fame. So that might be a good opportunity for people. You know, Brian Roberts, We mentioned him earlier. He's a guy who I think his timing was so off because he had his best years right before the Orioles were good. Had he been, you know, 4 years younger and had his good years, well, in 2012 to 2016 or something like that, I think he would be much better remembered by fans because he really was an excellent player.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he gets a bad rap. I it's very hard for me to fault any baseball player who just wants to keep playing baseball, and when the Orioles don't want him to do it for them anymore, like, you got to go find somebody else who will. I remember being at the first game that he played with the Yankees at Camden, and they did a really nice ovation, but I was super excited to see that they are doing something for him, like inducting him to the Hall of Fame and doing a ceremony. I think that'll be really neat. He totally deserves it.
He does, for sure. I mean, I look at some of the guys who are in the Orioles Hall of Fame, and he's a no-brainer. I mean, there's no question. He's a guy who, led the league in doubles a few times as an Oriole, led the league in stolen bases, was an All-Star several times. Although he was only an All-Star twice, which kind of surprises me, given that he was basically the Orioles' only good player for a few years there.
That I would have thought just like by default he would have had to have been in.
Exactly. Yeah, I would have guessed three or four at least. But yeah, somehow he's only, you know, and it may be one of those things where he was injured 1 year or something, you know. But yeah, he's officially only an All-Star twice. But yeah, certainly a very good Oriole, and somebody who we should remember. You know, he was unfortunate timing that he didn't get to play with a lot of really good Orioles teams, but he did his best. The fact that they sucked during his tenure was not his fault, that's for sure. So yeah, he's somebody who should be honored. There are things like that, and I mean, it's just there's certainly other stadiums you can go to and see them play, and there's other, I'm sure there's going to be some good bobblehead giveaways and things like that during the season. So, but in terms of being emotionally invested in a team that has a chance to be playing in October baseball, we're not going to get that this year.
We're not getting that. And I do. I think at some point you just have to sort of say, like, okay, so this is what the season is. I will never be able to completely disengage and just like be okay with them losing. But I do try and just remember, I think I said earlier, I would always rather be at a baseball stadium than not at a baseball stadium. So let's go eat a hot dog, drink a Natty Bow, and just try and enjoy being outside and in the sunshine and not scream at the players doing something terrible too much.
All right. Well, on that note, let's leave it and hope that the Orioles will, you know, win a few more games in between now and let's say between now and June.
that feels realistic. A few more before
we'll kind of take baby steps.
We've got
here.
Two more against the White Sox, so let's keep our fingers crossed for that.
Yeah, and by the time people are listening to this, game two of that series will have been played, so hopefully that'll be a win as well, and maybe
one more against the White Sox.
One more against the White Sox. All right, so Rachel, thank you so much for joining us today. If people want to find you on Twitter, where can they find you?
I'm at Rachel Ulrich, RachelUllrich. And I will tweet a lot about the Orioles, a lot about Ohtani, and starting in June, a lot about the World Cup. So,
right. So, yeah, a lot of soccer. So if you're into that, by all means, you should follow Rachel. But a great Orioles follow, so check her out.